You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show.
Hello, Gleek. What's up, everybody out there? I am Roxy Stryer, and you can see I am not with Sarah Mendoza. I am not with Mia Smith, but I am with the wonderful, the fabulous Sky. No coincidence, Stryer. This is my little sister. So we're very similar in many ways, but she's a little more camera shy, so we're going to try to bring her out tonight and have her talk about this show, which is one of her favorites, correct?
Love it.
Okay, so hopefully that will be a good place to start. We, of course, have Paul Arrow helping us out over here. Thank you, Paul, as always. And let's get right into it and talk about this episode, which I thought was incredible. I'm assuming the little short head nod means yes, you agree?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
So I really enjoyed the music tonight, and we're going to break it down like we usually do. So let's jump right in talking about David Karofsky and the incident that happened there. So we're starting on a low note, and we'll end up with the wedding and reach a higher note, but we got to get the drama out of the way first. So this was a really sad part of the episode, and we see last week that Karofsky goes to Breadsticks, of course, because is there another restaurant in the Glee world? No. And he goes to Breadsticks, and he tells Kurt that he wants to be with him, and that he likes him, or loves him. Actually, I think the words were, I think I love you. And Kurt rejects him kindly, and we see that Karofsky bumps into his friend Nick on the way out the door, and Nick kind of sees what just happened, and then later on in the locker room, Nick writes fag really big over Karofsky's locker and tells everybody that Karofsky's gay. So, Nick, complete asshole.
Total bitch.
Total dick. And Karofsky goes home, and in this devastating scene, we see flashes of Karofsky taking out his belt and... What else did he do?
At first, I thought he was going to kill himself when he took out the belt. But then he used it to get all dressed up, and I thought something else was going to happen, and then he got another belt.
He wanted to look okay. You know, it's like when somebody dies and you have to change them and dress them, you want them to look nice. So I don't think he wanted to be found in pajamas and underwear. So that was devastating to me. I thought that was a really sad moment. But we see him doing this, and at the same time, we see Blaine singing the Young the Giant song, Cough Syrup, which is an incredible song, and it's something that really hit home for me. And watching these two clips back and forth, I thought that Glee did a really beautiful job having us feel the mood of what was going on here.
Yeah. No, I thought it was awesome, and I liked that Blaine and Kurt were both in the scene, too, while we were seeing what was happening with Karofsky.
Exactly, and they had been a big part of Karofsky, especially Kurt had been a big part of his life, and I think that it was important to see that many individuals, a group of people can affect one individual, an individual can affect an individual. You never know what's going to be the factor of what makes or breaks somebody's day or their life, for that matter. And just knowing all the little things that added up to what happened with Karofsky, and we see that his attempt at suicide was a failed attempt because his father ends up finding him. Thank gosh for us viewers, because I'm really starting to like this character.
I love him.
You do?
I think he's so sweet. I don't know. It's strange how much he transformed as a character, because he started out as a total asshole, which is what Nick now is. And I think it's strange because I don't see, he's saying he loves Kurt, but I don't see when he possibly had the time to fall in love with Kurt.
Right, well, they met each other at the bar that one night. They saw each other, and he's saying that's when he fell in love and knew. But I know what you mean. I just think that he feels comfortable with Kurt because he knows that Kurt feels similar emotions that he does, being one of the only other gay males in Lima. So I think he's confusing that feeling of comfort for love, which is understandable. But unfortunately, Kurt is with Blaine. Well, fortunately, because we love Blaine. We love Blaine. And Blaine's such an understanding, great guy. And Kurt is also. But what happens is Crossy ends up calling Kurt. But after he told Kurt he has feelings for him, Kurt obviously feels awkward. So Kurt's rejecting the calls and not calling him back. And it just got me really thinking, you never know why somebody's calling. You never know what picking up somebody's phone call can do, or what just going the extra effort to help somebody else, really how that can affect somebody's life. You know, so I think that is a really strong point, and they really made that very clear here. And then in the end, we see this scene with Karofsky and Kurt, and Kurt goes to see him at the hospital.
I love that scene. That scene almost made me not want Blaine and Kurt together and want Karofsky and Kurt together. Just because when they were holding hands and everything, it was so cute.
Really? To me, it was such a friend scene. I know, I get what you're saying, and it's complicated because when two people who are attracted to each other, or, you know, it's like if a straight guy and a straight girl are in the same room, you're automatically thinking sexual thoughts, and two gay guys in one room and they're holding hands. But I think it was very friend zoney, and I really appreciated the exercise that Will Schuster had them do at the beginning, which was to think of something that makes you look forward to the future, which I think was such a brilliant way for the writers to go about this episode. And everybody had something, whether it was small or big, short term, long term, funny, serious. Everybody has something they can wake up for.
I appreciate the exercise. I did not appreciate the way he led into it with his whole story on of like cheating on a test and everything. I felt like Karofsky's story was so much more serious, and they tried to compare such a like a small like cheating on a test to like everything Karofsky was going through.
We had a lot of issues with comparison in this episode. Actually, we see a comparison when Quinn is talking about how suicide is selfish and how she had a baby and all this and how that's so much harder, and then Kurt comes in and says, no, you have no idea what it's like to be gay. And I just think that's a lesson, you know. You don't compare difficulties. You know, everything has their different levels, and it's not like you can just compare everything. So I agree with what you're saying, but I think he was just trying to say even the most normal and bubbly of people can have these dark thoughts over smaller things. It happens. So I think that was the point he made. But I really liked what a couple of the people had to say. And the funniest quote, of course, from Brittany was that she was looking forward to the day when Lord Tubington was going to kick his ecstasy addiction. Lord Tubington, who we know is her cat. So that was
Brittany.
I know. I love Brittany. And we actually got to see her featured a little bit this episode, which is great. Who we didn't really get to see featured, whose wish was just to graduate high school, is one of your favorites.
Oh, I love Puck, and they've totally just canceled him out this season.
Why do you think they're doing that?
I honestly don't know. I think they had that whole great story with him and Quinn and the baby, and how he wanted the baby back, and he was finally starting to be like a good parent, mm-hmm. and he had that whole relationship with the teacher, and then all of a sudden the teacher was gone, and Puck was gone too.
I feel like the audience was really being receptive towards Puck and really liked him, so I don't understand why they would try to write him out. He has a great voice, it's different than the rest of the guys, and he really seems to be a different standout character. So I don't know why they're trying to make him blend into the background. It doesn't really make sense to me. But still going on with Karofsky. So Kurt goes in and has him do this exercise. And Karofsky pictures his life in, what was it, 10 years?
Yeah.
20 years?
I think it's 10.
10 years. And he's married. He has a partner. He has a son. He is a sports manager.
See, I was shocked because I thought when he pictured it, he was going to picture Kurt as his husband. And that's where I thought, like, he was going to keep his emotions for Kurt just on lockdown. But it was a totally different guy.
Yeah, which I thought was valid. I really think they're trying to steer away from the romantic between Kurovsky and Kurt here. And because we love Kurt and Blaine so much and don't want to mess that up. And we want to see Kurovsky happy, but not with Kurt. We want to see him with somebody else. So I understand why they did that. And I thought it was really smart the way they handled the whole situation. And it was really tasteful and an issue that they haven't touched upon in a really long time. If ever, actually. I can't remember a Glee episode that touched upon suicide. So, no, you can't picture one. So, yeah, I thought that was really great. And I love when they tackle these massive topics and somehow fit it into the theme of Glee. And they make that work really well. So I appreciated that. On to a lighter note, because, geez, who wants to talk about suicide for that long? It makes my stomach hurt. We see the competition, regionals, which was awesome. Okay, so we got a lot of songs in here. We have Lenny Kravitz's Stand, which the Warblers performed. Also, Glad You Came by The Wanted, which the Warblers also performed. We have the Golden Goblets started singing some song. Who the hell knows what it was? Then New Directions come in with Fly Remix, I Believe I Can Fly.
That was
awesome.
My favorite thing.
That was a great mashup. Stronger, Kelly Clarkson, and Here's to Us by Hailstorm. And we see a lot of music clumped here in the middle of this episode. So let's start at the top with the Warblers. What do we think of their performance?
I didn't like the Warblers' performance.
Really?
I just wasn't as interested by it. And it was strange because in the middle of it, Finn stood up and was like, Finn was totally into it and was talking.
Finn was like, yeah, you go.
And I wasn't feeling it at that point at all. I just thought it was like an average. Like, I've seen the Warblers do so much better. And I don't know.
It's interesting because it's a point that you brought up during the episode that we always see the New Directions perform more songs than everybody else.
Yeah. I don't understand why they do that, why that's allowed. Like, they always make it this whole big deal, too, and they always build up the other competition, then the other competition gets shafted on songs.
Exactly. It's really bizarre. And I think the New Directions always has better songs. The writers really, obviously, are trying to make you stick with them.
And they have mashups, too.
Right, but I did appreciate that Finn stood up, because I thought the whole thing was, I mean, they were standing up for Sebastian, who clearly has changed.
I hate Sebastian.
I really like him, and I think he's a growing character, and I think it's important, and I think he's sexy as all get out.
I love to hate Sebastian. I just was so annoyed at how quickly he changed.
Well, I think all it takes sometimes is an experience like that, and remember, he was tearing apart Kurovsky, and then this happened, and he felt so guilty that I think he just wanted to grow as a person, and sometimes it doesn't happen that easily, but I was glad to see that he was affected by the situation, at least. And maybe in a couple weeks, he'll go back to being villain number one. But for now, I was glad that we could all join together, because it really takes experiences like this to make us all come together and realize where we have to go in the future. You still don't like him?
He just doesn't do it for me. Like, also, like, I think if you're going to be that mean of a person, like, I was expecting at least some more, like, passion is performance. He doesn't do it for me as a performer either.
That's true. I mean, comparing Sebastian to Blaine as frontman, it's like there's no competition. Yeah. Blaine blows him out of the water. And also, how the Warblers are such a one-man show. I mean, it's an a cappella group, and the background is amazing, but Sebastian sings every song. And then we get to the New Directions, and we start with Fly, I Believe I Can Fly. We've got Santana doing the Nicki parts, Rachel doing Rihanna, Artie doing R. Kelly and Blaine. Everybody's chipping in here, and it's really an ensemble piece.
Except for Puck, who just always doesn't get to sing.
Except for Puck. What the hell, man? I don't know. But this song killed it for me. This song killed it, and so did Stronger. And I was really stoked about this, because if we remember the Trouble Tones, which was Santana, Mercedes, and Britney, and when they split off to be their all-girls group, they came back to New Directions with the promise that they could perform a song at regionals. And sometimes I feel like Glee forgets about these promises, but they didn't. And they didn't make a huge deal of it this episode. They just showed us they remembered by giving Santana, Mercedes, and Brittany Kelly Clarkson Stronger.
It partially annoyed me, though, because I feel like Tina was the one that was loyal, and Tina also didn't get to perform as much.
Yeah, and in her, what she was looking forward to was a song.
I feel like she should be, like, rewarded for her loyalty.
But we did see her in a song last week, and I was just glad that they put the Trouble Tones back together for Stronger and were true to their word. And I thought it was a great performance. Unfortunately, Here's to Us didn't do it for me. Rachel Berry's performance, it was not my favorite of hers, and the best part of it was the audience, which was making it more believable. Her dads were so into it. Everybody was standing and cheering, and she was singing it to her boyfriend, her love, her fiance, and she was into it, and I mean, everybody else was into it, except for her, I felt like.
Yeah, I've seen her do so, so, so much better.
And I think they could have picked a better song here, and if they were going to choose Here's to Us and have Rachel do a solo, they should have sandwiched it between Fly and Stronger. Yeah. Because it was the weakest of the three.
So much was riding on her solo, too. There was a whole ordeal if she was going to be able to perform or not, and they built it up to the point where she was even cocky. She was like, oh, we're going to win. Like, I'm performing.
Right. That was funny with the pictures of Finn. Yeah. With, like, he was where she was like, oh, that's not Finn, and his penis isn't that dark, and it was just a really humorous moment, and I enjoyed that. But I thought that was a big moment for Rachel and Finn, too, there, when they see what happens with Karofsky and they both come and apologize to each other. I mean, like I'm saying, it's times like this that you gotta join together and not let things pull you apart. But unfortunately, after we hear Here's to Us, we've got 15 minutes left of the episode and not one more song. I hate when Glee does this.
They tried to work in a song at the wedding, but it wasn't that, like, I thought that was going to break into all of them singing, and then they just kind of played, like, a little bit of...
It didn't, though, exactly. And I know they have to work on their storyline, but Glee to us is music. And I want songs. And just because you have a competition show, there should be more songs, not less songs. I mean, we had the three songs the New Directions did, the two songs that the Warblers did, and then the one song Blaine did at the top. So that was six songs, which is an average episode. But tonight was a competition.
Yeah.
I want to see more. And don't bring the Golden Goblets on, just so that we can see that there are three teams in regionals. I mean, have them sing a song. Let's hear some more talent.
I didn't appreciate that at all. They always bring on this third group that's a joke, and then everyone's like, wow, they were better than they thought. Oh my God, competition.
But then they always end up in third, and they're stoked about being third place. It's like, honey, you're third of third.
Yeah.
Why are you so excited?
They were jumping up and down. They were thrilled. I was like, what are you doing?
I know. I thought that was weird. Okay, but so that ended the competition, which brought us to the wedding. Yikes. So what do you think, in general, about Rachel and Finn getting married?
I love Rachel and Finn as a couple. I was so happy when Glee finally stopped just messing with them and just let them be. I think it's absurd that they're getting married, though, because Rachel is the Rachel show. She can say she loves Finn, everything, and I believe it, but she's the Rachel show. She's going to Broadway. She's doing her thing, and expecting Finn to just come with her isn't really fair, and I don't think he's going to be able to put up with it.
Right. I agree with that, but he seems to be thus far. So why is he putting up with her? Just because he loves her so much?
Because I think Finn underestimates himself, and I think we saw that last episode, too. He was talking to Kurt, and Kurt was telling him he can do so much more, and Finn finally started to think about all his possibilities, and I think he was, like, a little bit less edging to going to New York with Rachel.
It's weird to me, in my opinion, because, of course, in my opinion, who else do I have? So we see that Finn and Rachel are so... It's so urgent that they get married. They gotta get married. They gotta get married. It's almost like they're scared that if they wait too long, they're not going to do it.
I think Rachel thinks she's going to back out of it. I think Finn is truly so excited about the idea of being
exactly. It's like, if you're truly in love, what's wrong with waiting? What's wrong with waiting until you're in college, out of college, older, or even until May, like you originally were saying? I mean, why do they have to do all this today, right now, on the spot?
I think Rachel is 100% afraid she just wants to go to Broadway and do her own thing, and she doesn't want to leave Finn behind. And I think that even when she thought she wasn't going to get into Niata is when she finally accepted this whole idea of marrying Finn. And it was strange because it almost seemed like she was like, oh, well, I can't do this whole Broadway thing. I might as well marry Finn.
Right. What do you think about her and Niata, by the way? I haven't gotten your opinion. Do you think she's going to get in?
I think that either her or Kurt will get in. I don't think they're both going.
Yikes. That's going to be some drama. Okay, but so during the wedding, we see everybody's supposed to be there, but Quinn's not there. She went home to get her bridesmaid's dress. And then comes the big moment of the episode, the cliffhanger. And by the way, we are not back here until April 10th. Oh my God, what am I going to do? We see the big, big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, she's... damn that texting and driving. I will never do that. Sometimes I get caught doing it. Sky really yells at me. I really don't mean to. It's really bad. Ugh, never again. Tisk, tisk. But seriously, she picks up her phone and she's saying, I'll be there soon. And boom. Well, that didn't make it loud enough. Boom. Was that louder? Better. Dude, we gotta have, like, a car crash sound cue at some point. Well, no, nothing. Maybe. No, there aren't enough car crashes on TV then. But good. Good. Let's keep it that way. So we see this huge crash, and that's it. That's what we see. What the hell? What's the biggest lesson of this episode? Don't commit suicide because people out there love you. Don't text while driving.
I was going to say, Glee always tries to do this, just like incorporate teen messages for everyone to see.
I think it's humorous at times, but I think it works. I think they do a really good job.
They also touched on like cyberbullying too, I thought was another important cyberbullying tried to get in there.
Really good point. Exactly. So, I mean, we see a lot of this. And I, by the way, this is just sidetracked for a second. There was a quote that I really liked that Kurt said today to Kurofsky in the hospital, and it was, there will be some days where life just sucks. And for this episode of Glee, that held true. I mean, not with them winning the competition, but sometimes you wake up and your day just sucks. And there's not much you can do about it. And you hope there is, but sometimes there's nothing you can do. And I thought that was a really, yep, that's true. That's how.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. He said it, and I was like, yeah, totally agree with you.
Yep, shit happens, basically. So, honestly, other than basically the Kurofsky situation, we had the competition, we had the wedding, we had the car accident, and that covered the show.
I was excited that Quinn accepted the wedding.
Yeah, I was excited about that, too. Yeah, we had that whole situation we haven't even talked about. Sue's pregnant, and now Quinn is supposed to be Cheerios again, but we don't know with this car accident.
Well, that made me angry because she quit the Cheerios. She didn't want to be a Cheerio. So why in her senior year was she all of a sudden like, oh, I really want to be a Cheerio?
I don't know. She's changed. She's growing, and I think that was okay. But my bigger question is, who's the father of Sue's baby? Why won't she tell us? Did she, like, steal somebody's sperm? Because we kind of saw hints of that last episode.
I would not be surprised. I would not put that past Sue.
But now she wants to help Will with everything, so...
I never trust her.
I know. That's what we talk about on the show. She just cycles and cycles. Evil villain, nice woman. Evil villain, nice woman. But honestly, I think we pretty much covered it. We unfortunately have no news and gossip for the night, but we do have predictions. So let's cut to a commercial, and we can come back, and we can talk about our predictions for April 10th. I will repeat it like 8 more times. Oh my God, why is it so far? So commercial, and we will see you back here for some predictions.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV, what do you want to buzz about?
Awesome, let's just jump over into predictions. How do you like our sound bites, by the way?
Love them.
You like them? They're freaking weird, right? We got some, like, Barry Manilow and then some Twilight.
They make me jump every time I hear them.
We've got a million of them, too. They always keep me on my toes. So, honestly, it's going to be hard to predict. Let's try to go through situation and character by character. Rachel and Finn. Are they going to go through this wedding? Are they going to find out that Quinn's in the accident? What's going to happen?
Well, I think first they're going to find out Quinn's in the accident. Second, I think they have a whole bunch of things going at them, which is Rachel, if she really wants to do it, and the parents, who all of a sudden now are very, very against the whole idea of their marriage.
They are really, really funny. We've got Jeff Goldblum and Brian Stokes, and these actors are incredible as Rachel Berry's parents, killing it. So funny, especially Jeff Goldblum, and he just sits there and was going off on this Barbara Streisand whole plan that he had. So funny. But yeah, I don't know. They've got a lot of stuff coming at them, so maybe the wedding will be postponed.
I love also how much Kurt's dad loves Finn and is so into, like, we need to stop Finn from doing this. It's going to ruin his whole future and everything. When in reality, like, he's the one that's most worked up about it, but he isn't related to Finn at all.
Right. Right, I agree. And that's interesting, especially because it's a fairly new dynamic between Bert and Finn. So it's interesting, and glad to see that he has such strong feelings towards his stepson. Okay, what about Quinn? Is she going to be okay?
I think Quinn will be fine. Just because I think, like, now, like, she's gotten her whole Cheerios costume, everything like that. Like, I don't think they're just going to take
it. So they're not setting us up for failure?
No.
Because of the Cheerios costume, we know.
No, I think that was a big deal.
She will make it. No, I kind of agree with you. I don't think they would set us up for that big of a letdown. Are we going to see any more Puck?
I hope so. I hope they do something with either, like, Quinn's in the accident and Puck realizes he loves her. Something along those lines.
Yeah. I don't know.
I need a love story for him.
I need Shane and Mercedes to... Not Shane. Oh, my God. Trotty Mouth and Mercedes to get back together.
Oh, I totally disagree. Oh.
We didn't even talk about that.
Just because...
You don't like Trotty Mouth?
Oh, I love Trotty Mouth. I feel like...
Sam, my Trotty Mouth.
They forced me into this relationship so quickly.
They did. It is true, but I'm into it. I'm diving right in.
The only thing they did to kind of get me on board was that whole Summer Lovin', like, song, which I enjoyed and kind of made me feel more for their relationship. But I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling that Mercedes would ever reject Sam in any way.
That's true.
And I don't... Like, I just don't like...
Maybe she would.
Them as
She's
a couple.
She's got a lot of woman power. How are we feeling about new dreadlocks, and where is he going? We don't know yet.
I love him. I think that they realize...
I think he's hot.
Yeah. I think they realize Rory was just, like, a joke of a character.
No, they don't. Honestly, the creators love him.
I hate him. They haven't given him a single story. They started to give him a story with Artie and...
Sugar.
And... Already got the girl, and he was just out.
Again. Sugar's got some great one-liners. She's kind of taking Brittany's one-liner place.
Yeah.
She's funny.
I was happy to see Brittany again in this episode.
I know. I love her, and she's such an incredible dancer. Okay, so any more predictions from you? It's hard because it's so far away, and this was such an epic episode.
It was unreal.
No more predictions? Can't really think of anything. Me neither. Okay, where can we find you if we would like to find you on Twitter?
at Sky Stryer.
And I'm at Roxy Stryer. And this very well might be the last show we do together. I hope not. Hopefully you'll come in. And I know it looks like she's blushing, but really she got burnt today in the sun. So she's less awkward than she looks. I'm just kidding. You're so beautiful, my little sister. So goodbye, Gleeks. We love you. And tweet at us. Let us know what's going on. We got a really long hiatus here, so please tweet at me. Send me any information you have. I love when you guys send me articles, whatever it is, any news you figure out, even if it's just rumors. Hit me up. I will respond to you, and I will send you back what I know. So we will see you back here April 10th in the studio. Until then, Gleeks out.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.